Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
It's time for Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
On now.
Here's your host, Melanie Cole.
Hi, and in today's first story, drinking coffee may cut your risk of colon cancer by as much as 50%, a new study suggests. And it's the more you drink, the more you may reduce your risk. It makes no difference whether the coffee is regular or decaf, these researchers just recently said. The protective effect is not in the caffeine per se, but probably a lot of other antioxidant ingredients in the coffee that are released in this roasting process. We've done some shows on coffee, and it's helping to reduce the risk of certain things, heart disease, and now colon cancer as well. These findings cannot prove that coffee reduces the risk of colon cancer, only that coffee is associated with a reduced risk. For years, we haven't really been sure if coffee was dangerous, and now they're coming out with more and more information that coffee is actually good for you. And I'm not sure whether it's something that makes you feel jittery or you like the decaf versions, but we're learning more and more about where you find your coffee, where you get your coffee, where it came from, and the roasting process, and how that all figures in to the health benefits of a cup of coffee. And some of these participants reported how much coffee they drank, including espresso, instant, decaf, and filtered. And then the risk factors, other risk factors were considered in for colon cancer, such as family history, cancer, diet, physical activity, smoking. The researchers found that having 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day was linked to a 26% reduced risk of colon cancer for those who drank more than 2.5 cups. And when I was researching this story this morning, I actually went and had a second cup of coffee, which I never do. So just in case you find that today I'm a little on the, you know, fast side, that may be why, because I do drink some really awesome coffee and it does have caffeine. So if I'm speaking a little fast or a little high energy for you today, well, that just may be why. Also, I've been on vacation, so that was awesome. Now, infant and toddler health, temper tantrums in toddlers, how to keep the pace. So all of you people with toddlers that are throwing temper tantrums, some new research is coming out about why and how children are doing these tantrums and how parents can really help to ward them off and or nip them in the bud the minute that they do happen. So here's my little tantrum advice for you. So first of all, can they be prevented? There may be no foolproof way to prevent them, but you can do plenty to encourage good behavior, even in the youngest children. So you want to be consistent. You want to have your daily routine. I can't stress enough the daily routine and how much children thrive on boundary and routine. They need to have that. Throwing them off the routines, bedtimes, breakfast times, those sorts of things really take a child out of their comfort zone. Plan ahead. If you know that you're running errands with a child, run those errands when your child isn't likely to be hungry or tired. So not during afternoon nap time. If your child still naps, make sure that you bring snacks along. Encourage your child to use their words. I'm still doing that with my 13-year-old. Encourage them to tell you when they're frustrated. If they're a 2-year-old and they can't use those words as well, you can calm them down. Listen to it here. Wait for it. By hugging them, pulling them close. And when a child is throwing a tantrum, believe me, the last thing you want to do is hug them and hold them close. But it can really be very helpful. So that's something else that you can try. You want to praise their good behavior and avoid situations that are likely to trigger temper tantrums. So if you're giving them toys that are far too advanced or telling them no about everything in the store, that could set it off. So this is Melanie Cole. More advice coming up in a great show.